We love no-code tools, and we love streetwear, specifically Supreme. So it's kind of like a mashup of two really niche interests, streetwear and no-code tools, because the most important thing is shipping and getting it out the door. It's not making it perfect. It doesn't matter how great your idea is if nobody ever sees it. It's basically a lightweight e-commerce platform. It's less intense than Shopify, but it does the same thing. What I want anybody who's listening to this podcast to take away is that you don't need to become an entrepreneur to use no-code tools to make your life better.
Hey there, welcome to episode 6. I'm thrilled to connect you with another no-code hero on this podcast. Cynthia McGillis is a co-founder at NoCode.Digital. It's an online business merging her passion for stickers and exclusive streetwear fashion. She's also a corporate warrior at Lambda School, a software development bootcamp. What's really interesting about our conversation is how she puts a spotlight on a segment of no-code that I believe will drive massive adoption of the trend. We're going to get a brief introduction from Cynthia and roll right into one of the best jam sessions I've had on Codeless. Pay attention to how her background and point of view has influenced her no-code journey. Enjoy.
Hey, my name is Cynthia McGillis. I'm a Salesforce and operations professional in San Francisco, California, and I make stickers for fun that you can find at noco.digital. So the inspiration for creating those stickers was I have a friend and a coworker named Mitchell, and we love two things. We love no-code tools, and we love streetwear, specifically Supreme. So we were inspired by Supreme's box logo. And if you're listening to this right now and you're like, what is that? Just Google Supreme box logo and you'll see exactly what it looks like. And so that's why we named our site noco.digital to be a play off of BOGO, which is box logo. So it's kind of like a mashup of two really niche interests, streetwear and no-code tools. We were just hanging out one day and we said, why don't we try this? And from idea, from us thinking of creating these stickers and selling them on the internet, it literally took 7 days. This little tiny product launch is kind of what makes me so excited about no-code tools. I am not a software engineer. I am not a developer, but I was able to get my product to market in a really short time and then promote it on Twitter. That's what makes me really excited about these kind of tools and why I wanted to create stickers that people could also rep.
That's really, really great. Definitely placing my order shortly. So initially, we have to satisfy the listeners that really just want to hear about tools. So I think right now we've gotten with a hook about something that you've done that's really cool. I'm going to come back into your no-code stack, but just introduce us to Cynthia. Tell us about your origin story, where you've been, and what got you to this point today.
I grew up in that era where you had a computer room. And the big thing for me was MySpace and Zanga. MySpace was like the original social network. And Zanga was like a blogging platform that teenage girls used. And it was there that I discovered my love of just like the little snippets of code, right? You could use HTML and a little bit of CSS to insert some cool GIFs on your page and be really customizable. So that's kind of what got me into the internet and computers in general. I was always the friend in school who people were like, oh, Cynthia's good with computers. Like, ask her if your iTunes isn't working. I can thank Google for all my computer skills. I literally just Google it and figure it out. And I think that that's a huge lesson that I would love for anyone who listens to this episode to take away. Like, if you feel you can't do something, go on the internet and ask that question. It's truly that simple. So then how I got into more of the no-code tool stack is one of my first jobs out of college was using Salesforce. And Salesforce is an enterprise software, and so it's not normally talked about in the no-code world as much. It's not like Webflow or something like that, but it's a huge, really, really popular software that I think no-code people should be interested in getting their arms around, because especially if you want to make money in the no-code space, there's a lot of opportunity for Salesforce consultants. For me, no-code is a means to an end, not an end in of itself. So I am not someone who believes that it's no code versus code. It's just that no code is sometimes a quicker, easier, less expensive way to get where you want to go.
Cynthia, just quickly tell us, what's your current day job?
Yeah. So I currently work at a software engineering bootcamp named Lambda School, and I work in their admissions team. So my job is to help people become software engineers full time. I think it's actually really good that I'm not personally a software engineer, because I can really have a lot of empathy for those that aren't.
So you said no code is a means to an end, but I gotta ask you, why didn't you just learn the code?
So that's a great question. I feel like every 8 months I go, this is it. I'm learning how to code. And I go to freecodecamp.org and I spin up my GitHub account, which I still have. And I go, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to write Hello World. And you know what? It takes so long to see any progress. I had to like get my text editor slash IDE right. I had to install some random package and I didn't really know what that meant. And so for every single time that happens, I go, I guess I don't really want that this much. But what I do want is to be able to see something quickly. Like, humans love the progress principle, which is the ability to see like changes and think their lives moving forward. And for me, the no code tools really scratch that itch, and I'm able to do what I want to do so much faster. So that's why I haven't taken the time to learn how to code. However, a very relevant sidebar is using no code tools actually does inch you towards getting more technical every single time you use them. And so as a result, it's almost like a gateway for people to become coders. For example, there's a no code tool called Zapier, and it's very cool. It's drag and drop. You literally go, if this, then this, connect these different tools. Well, Zapier lets you write little tiny chunks of JavaScript if what you're trying to accomplish is like an if and else statement that's just a little too complex. You can write a little baby snippet of JavaScript in there. And when I started working with Mitchell, I inherited a Zap that he had written with a little bit of JavaScript. And prior to that, I had never really worked with JavaScript. I had never had experience or exposure to it. But I saw it there, and because it was so manageable and I could read it and I knew what we were doing because I was owning the overall Zap and the business process, I started writing a little teeny bit of JavaScript. And so that's what I think is really powerful about these no-code tools, is it's a really low-pressure way to start getting your feet in the water besides having to like learn how to use Git day one.
That right there is a huge gem, because there are 7 billion people or more in the world, and I think it's 0.3% of people or professionals know how to code. So It's a very small group. And it gets very easy to get locked into this mentality of, I don't know how to do this. I'll never know how to do this. Listening to you makes me so much more comfortable, because I'm in the exact same place. You think logically, you understand how to get what you want done. It's just that the hurdles being put up by code and the experience you'd have to have is such an obstacle that no code is easier, but no code is actually inching you into code now.
100%. I think it's definitely breaking down barriers for people who might otherwise feel confused and not sure about how to get their idea out there. So I totally agree with you. And I also think that at the end of the day, like, software engineers, I don't think they want to build another one-page website or another like click to checkout button. And so what no-code tools are doing is they're kind of just like getting rid of those basic development tasks that we've figured out how to do. And we're freeing up actual software engineers and actual developers to build like really cool stuff that no-code tools can't do yet. And so that's what I find really exciting. Like, why would my senior software engineer want to build an integration between Salesforce and QuickBooks? Like, that's just boring business logic. Meanwhile, Zapier is like, if this, then that, boom. And now my software engineer can work on something that's actually really cool and going to be a game changer for our business versus just like automating a couple tasks between different databases.
So not only is no code unlocking creativity and helping transform non-technical professionals and individuals, it's also freeing up or enabling software engineers to be their best selves.
100%. It's not like an either or, it's an and. It's not me trying to say like, I'll never need a software engineer. No, it's just saying, I don't need a software engineer for these very specific discrete tasks. You, software engineer, go work on these other things that are actually really hard and cool to do that no code can't touch yet, which is very exciting.
Now let's get into your no code stack. So talk about your project and then break it down into no code and the tools that you're using to help you achieve that.
Sure. So specifically what I'm going to talk about right now is my site, noco.digital, which is where we sell those stickers that I mentioned earlier. We mapped it out. And this is actually something that I think is a really important thing to learn, regardless of if you want to become a developer or not, or even if you want to work with developers, is learning how to map your process, what you're trying to accomplish, from A to Z. For me, I really love using Lucidchart to create like flowcharts, but you can use a whiteboard or whatever to just go like, where am I and where am I wanting to go? So that was the first thing we did. We said, okay, we want to sell stickers. How do we get these stickers on the internet? So there's all these different options, and we landed on a company called Card.co. Their whole competitive advantage is they are single, simple, one-page landing pages. And we realized that that's all we needed. We weren't creating a huge e-commerce site. We weren't gonna do a bunch of other products. We just wanted to sell one sticker on one page. And that's another thing when you get started with your products is choose the simplest thing, because the most important thing is shipping and getting it out the door. It's not making it perfect. It doesn't matter how great your idea is if nobody ever sees it. So we bought a domain, and Card helps with the hosting. Card really lays it out for you. It literally gives you instructions of where you put stuff. So then we decided, okay, cool. We have stickers somewhere and we have a website. How do we, when someone says, I want to buy, we know who they are. So initially we integrated with Stripe, and we were going to use Stripe to collect their shipping address. And when we would collect their shipping address, we were going to use a Zap from Zapier to put the Stripe shipping address into an Airtable base. And Airtable is like an online, like hyped up spreadsheet. And that way we could see that we received a purchase. So we got really excited about that. And then we realized that Stripe doesn't support shipping address yet. So if you go to Stripe's docs, like developer docs, like they just don't have that built in yet. So we obviously were not creating a robust enough checkout process where we could collect shipping address on our own and store in our own site. So now we had to go back to square one. And we ended up landing on Gumroad. And Gumroad is a really, really cool site. It's basically a lightweight e-commerce platform. It's less intense than Shopify, but it does the same thing. And Gumroad, I mean, in seconds, we set up our product, we clicked the quantity, it gave us a little button, like the little HTML for the button, and said, here, put this HTML on your site so that your button pops up with the thing. I mean, it was way easier than what we had initially planned on. And I think that's another thing, because we kind of were excited. We're like, ooh, we're going to use a Zap and we're going to send it to Airtable. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we just use Card and we use Gumroad. And so it's not the most robust, crazy stack. But once again, it's about getting your product to market in the easiest way. And so who cares if it's not super complex? Like, my customers are buying stickers. My goal was accomplished. Gumroad was super, super incredible and really, really easy to work with. So after we integrated our Card website with Gumroad, we were basically ready to launch. And so we did some test transactions, worked out well. I actually went to a coffee shop to take some photos of the stickers in the wild. And then when we were ready to launch, I decided to go on Twitter, because where else do you promote your weird products except Twitter? And what I did is I did a tweet where I tagged every single company and person who was involved in creating the tools that we used. And so that was Sahil from Gumroad and AJ from Card. And I said, hey, I used AJ from Card's product, Sahil from Gumroad's product. Like, this is how we got where we are now. So there's two lessons there, which is get your idea out, don't overcomplicate it, but also share and work out loud, because otherwise nobody knows what you're doing and no one can help you if you don't talk about what you're working on.
So where is your business now? Like, how's it doing? And what else can we as a community do to help?
Well, right now, what I would love is more ideas for new stickers we could release. So right now, we just have the one sticker. But if someone came up with a really clever idea for something else, I would love to turn that into stickers and sell it. I think the best way to support is to go to NoCo Digital, noco.digital, and buy a sticker. $4, it includes shipping. But the business is going pretty well. We've almost made back our initial like costs to buy everything. So I'm feeling as an experiment, it's going really well. And what I'm now seeing is people who have received their stickers are putting them on their laptops and tweeting us photos. And that's really fun because now you're seeing the product that you created out in the wild. And that's always a really satisfying feeling.
I just literally purchased a couple stickers right now. And I did a Loom video recording how fast it was, other than me choosing whether I wanted one or four. Oh, and in that probably 20 seconds, I also tweeted about it at the same time.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, 5 years ago, to be able to sell something online that quickly, it just was not possible. And so now that these tools are available to creators is absolutely wild. And it's really, really exciting. And it's fun to be part of it.
I've got to admit, there's a lot to say about NoCode, but though the movement has gained a lot of momentum in the past 18 months, it sometimes feels like an echo chamber for the seasoned enthusiasts and deep practitioners in the space. Some of us keep hearing from the same people talking about the same tools and topics. One thing that has reduced the echo chamber effect for me has been a focus on different personas and journeys in NoCode. On Codeless, we focus on makers, tools, and heroes. Talking specifically about NoCode heroes has been especially rewarding. These are folks managing businesses on the back of NoCode. They're not entrepreneurs. They're intrapreneurs, bringing the benefits of NoCode to their day jobs. They are unlocking creativity, efficiency, and incremental value for themselves and their companies. Let's hear from Cynthia on this specific issue.
Do you want to just do stickers, or do you want to even do other things? Like, what are some other ideas?
I am very passionate about operational efficiency within the business. And when I say the business, I just mean my day job. And so something that I'm trying to advocate for is helping people who are not software engineers within my business think of clever ways to automate and improve their daily operations. And so that's something that I think in the no-code space, I haven't seen a ton of. That's where like I feel you're locking so much human efficiency is within your organization and being an advocate that way versus saying, I spun up a no-code Airbnb, which I still think is cool. A really good example is at my old job, I worked on a marketing team, and our marketing team had to pull leads. They had to put them in a spreadsheet, and then they had to send them to the client. And this lead pulling process took hours. And one day I said, what's going on here? I discussed with them this tool called Zapier. And I think within a month, literally, we were running thousands of tasks every day because they had set up one for every single client for every single spreadsheet. And now sending leads took 2 minutes instead of 30 minutes.
How do you as a maker keep up with the momentum that you need to have to keep the ball rolling? Like, how do you do that?
I really like the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's really good on helping you create these habits that keep you going. And I think about one of the things is like, don't break the streak, right? Like, you have to put in the reps. Like, you'll literally never get good at something if you do not do it. And I think what I see the biggest stopper for anyone trying to create anything is they only want to ship perfection. And that's not possible.
Let's bring it back to NoCode. And I want to talk about tools in different segments. So for like marketing, talk to us about some NoCode tools that you love to use for marketing.
Let's see. So I brought it up earlier in the podcast, but it was really cool to use Zapier to push leads from Unbounce, which is a landing page company, to Google Sheets so that we could download those leads and send them to clients. Something else that we have used, which is really cool, I don't have as much experience in this tool, but it is way more powerful than Zapier. It's called Trey.io. And Trey is an enterprise software tool. So as a result, as an individual maker, you don't have access to it unless your business buys it because it's pretty expensive. Some people might be listening to this podcast and thinking, well, I have a job. Like, I don't make cool things on the side. And what I'm trying to tell you is you can make cool things at work. So one of the things that we used was Trey and Salesforce and Twilio, the voice like phone calling thing, to send text messages to leads. And that was a totally no code thing. My boss spun it up. He's a huge no code guy as well. He's actually the one who introduced me to Trey. And so that's another example of a kind of a cool thing that we've done. I've also done a bunch of integrations between a really cool Zapier feature that they have is called Email Parser. And it lets you forward emails to a Zapier inbox that then scrapes them. And then once you determine like what you want to scrape, you can zap it somewhere. So let's zoom out and give you an actual example. Okay, say you have an email that comes through every single time a customer places an order. And say for some reason, the order software you use doesn't have an API, so you can't tap into it directly. You receive an email receipt with the order number. And luckily, what's cool about email receipts and form emails is they're pretty much always, they always look the same. They're templatized. So you take that email, you forward it to Zapier's email parser. You say, this is the data that I want. It extracts it. And then now you have that order number and you could zap that order number into your Google Sheets, your Airtable, your Salesforce, whatever you want to do. And that's a really powerful tool that I've used because there's been a couple platforms that I use that don't have APIs and don't integrate with Zapier. But if they're sending regular kind of transactional emails with data that I need, I can just scrape them to get what I want.
You're really talking about people using no code, maybe not even to necessarily even start a business, but to automate parts of their current life that can free them up for other things.
Yeah, that's definitely 100% what I want anybody in who's listening to this podcast to take away is that you don't need to become an entrepreneur to use no code tools to make your life better.
Let's talk about number one, now that you're in this space, how are you engaging and communicating with other members of the community? And I'm specifically asking like, what method of communication do you think is best right now for you to really engage with no code?
So I think the best platforms for niche communities right now is Slack. I am personally not part of it, but I think MakerPad, which is run by Ben Tossel, who you should totally have on this podcast if you can. He runs a huge Slack community for people who use no-code tools. And MakerPad is really neat. They interview and profile people who have created process like automated processes or little businesses with no-code tools. And so he's got an entire Slack community of people who are in there talking about no-code. And I am personally part of many niche communities, and a lot of them, the best conversations happen on Slack. Another one that I'm part of is a Salesforce community. And what's incredible is, say I have a Salesforce question and I'm at work. I look around. Well, I'm the best person at Salesforce at my job. So now what do? If I want instant real-time communication, I go to Slack where hundreds of other Salesforce people are hanging out in the Slack community and I post a screenshot and go, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this working? And usually within 5 to 10 minutes, I've got responses. People are jamming back and forth, giving me solutions. So I personally feel for no code and for many niche communities, having a Slack where you can meet other people and talk about your problems is super huge. I've also had a lot of success on Twitter. That's how you and I met. I've met many of people via the internet who have been helpful to me, but I've also offered to help them. So it goes both ways. If you want to be helped, you need to be helpful.
What is something that you wish no code could do for you right now that it's not? If you could put out a wish list into the ether, what would you like no code to be able to do for you?
Well, the biggest thing is no code doesn't have versioning. By versioning, I mean you have a record of every single time you made a change, right? This is why Git is so popular, is because you can literally see the changes that happened in the code. And then as a result, what you can also do is you can roll back. So say you create something and it's not working and it's erroring out, you can go, whoops, let me roll back to the previous version. I'm specifically talking about Zapier. Salesforce has a no-code tool called Process Builder, where you literally click and drag to make things happen. And they do have versioning, but Zapier doesn't. And that's really frustrating because you can't see the changes that have been made. I think that that's something that's going to make no-code tools really powerful. And also, I think it'll make developers feel a little more comfortable with it.
I think I had heard about that before, but I never really understood the context. Really appreciate you saying that. I'm going to probably ask everyone about that in the tools that they use now. How can people reach you if they want to?
Yeah, sure. Couple ways to find me. Twitter is always your best spot. I am on Twitter at Cynthia McGillis. I also blog very occasionally at CynthiaBellMcGillis.com.
I'm better for meeting you, and we really loved having you on the show. We hope you'll come back in a future episode to talk about what else you're working on. I'm wishing you a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that concludes this episode of Codeless. I hope you had a fun time. You can click the links in the show notes to order a sticker from nocode.digital. We'll have a few more snippets from Cynthia after these closing credits. Keep listening or skip ahead to hear Cynthia talk about the past and future of no-code. You can reach me on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn by searching for the Codeless podcast handle. Just search for the words Codeless and podcast, and you can't miss us. Send us a voice note about our episode through our Anchor page at anchor.fm/codeless. All music provided through appropriate licensing and permissions. Big thanks for music to Steph Skilly, Bobby Oddsock, RMark1313, Raising Sounds, and prod.nocredit. You can find more information and links in the show notes.
This is my impact of no code over the past decade, particularly on myself. No code has empowered me to improve business processes and operations in my day job and has also leveled up my technical chops overall. I was an English major in college, and today I have no issues chatting database schemas or writing SQL. No code tools are what helped me get there. The future of no-code tools will move from hobbyist and small business to enterprise. Tools like Tray.io, Amazon Step Functions, and Mendix are more low-code than no-code. But in order for these tools to scale, they need to play nicely with existing code bases and follow engineering best practices.